Oh, it's a privilege to give God all the praise. Praise God. Before we go to your classes, Sunday we're going to be starting this series. And it's not really a series, it's a curriculum, a new curriculum. It's from our, you know, UPCI publishing house. It's called the Discipleship Project. The thing that will be different about it, we will be teaching this also in the adult class, and all the classes will have the same material. And it's starting out with the greatest story, of course, the birth of Jesus Christ. And it'll go a year, and then we'll, you know, have another series. And so this will be a chance for us to all be on the same page. You're driving home, you're talking to your kids about what Sunday school is about. When you have the same lesson, they have the lesson on their level. And anyway, it's just all going to be cohesive, and I think we're all going to enjoy it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Classes can be dismissed. Our youth are in tonight, and that's always my favorite Wednesday. It's more challenging than the other Wednesdays. Not because the adults here, the older adults, aren't challenging. It's just that the youth, you know, you got to keep their attention. And not with puppets and things like that. But, you know, you got to be on your A game, I feel like, anyway. There's things that I love. And there's things about, you know, church I really love. And there's things in life I really love. But then there are things I don't like. And you probably have a list too. If you really were honest, you'd probably have a list of people that you'd rather not be around all the time. But we're not going to talk about that. But there's things I don't like, and I want to talk about that tonight. Things I don't like. Things I don't really want to involve myself in. I don't like mowing grass and things like that. But that's easy. None of us really love to go out into a hot day and mow grass and have it stuck to our face. Psalms 34 and 18 and 19. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Notice in here, it talks about the Lord is close to the ones who have a broken heart. He saves the ones that whose spirits are sad or contrite. And so the righteous are going to have many afflictions. We're going to go through difficult times. But he delivers us out of all of them. Do you notice something that it doesn't say the righteous are going to avoid trouble? He'll take us, he'll deliver us out of them. But we can't promise any of us that we will not go through trouble. But we just know that God goes with us through trouble. So the two words here that I want you to notice is in verse 18, the word broken. And then in verse 19, the word affliction. These are two negative words. We really can't take the word broken and the word affliction and make something positive out of that. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And so we know he's near to us all, but this indicates that there's a special closeness where there is a brokenness. So you get brokenness, you've got another layer, another dimension of God's closeness because of that brokenness. The broken heart always brings a healing Savior, and that's a promise in his word. Now, the righteous, like the unrighteous, are separate due to their nature and activities. But both the righteous and the unrighteous suffer. We suffer. No one gets out of suffering. Everyone has to go through suffering. But the righteous are delivered out of their afflictions. So you've got another Savior here. The Lord takes care of our brokenness, and the righteous are delivered out of their afflictions. I don't like brokenness and afflictions, but I do love God who is present at these times of my life. And I must hold on to the promise that when I am going through a time of affliction or brokenness, I have God that's going to be there. And if you haven't been through anything like this in a while, it might be difficult to be excited about that. It's kind of like car insurance. It's difficult to pay that bill. But if something happens to you, you're thankful that you're paid up because you want to be covered. you know how you got to be covered here is just be a child of God. And there you are. Matthew 26 and verse 40 says, "And he cometh unto his disciples, findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so, every person's battle is to conquer their flesh or their human will. We all have that battle tonight to conquer this guy. We have to conquer it. And so Jesus walks up to Simon. Very important night. Crucifixion's tomorrow. He said, "I just want y'all to pray with me." And he realized, St. Peter did, that he was just flesh. And as much as he would tell God that I'll stay with you, I'll never leave you, you know, I'll be there with you and I'll never deny you, you know, all of that, he could not even pray an hour at the most important time of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord brought that to light, and especially to Simon. He said, "What? Could you not watch with me just an hour? You couldn't pray just an hour with me?" But see, the Lord understood this. He understood it was late at night. He understood what was about to happen. He understood they had been talking a long time. They had a long talk at supper that night. But he said, "Watch, watch, and pray." And I think this is not something that he needed to do just that night. The Lord is saying, let's do this all the time. You need to watch and you need to pray so you don't enter into temptation, because you have a spirit that indeed is willing. And we don't have issues with that internal part of us that says, I want to be great. I want to do good things for God. There is a willingness to accomplish great things for God. We don't have a shortage of that anywhere. I'm sure you've even thought of things today, or you're coming to the end of the year and you might already have fixed in your mind what I'm going to do for the new year. I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm changing things in my life. Because we know what light and dark is. We know what good and bad. We know what mediocre and excellent is. And so in our hearts tonight, we might already have fixed goals for next year. And so the Lord's just coming up to Simon and saying, you got to understand something. It's not hard to have a willing spirit, but it's difficult to let that spirit get into gear and motivate the flesh, because the flesh is weak. That's going to always be the part that we battle, is we're going to battle our flesh. Every person's battle is to conquer the flesh, that human will. That's the battlefield right there. Jesus was dealing with the lost people. They were not saved. They were not regenerated. They had not been filled with the Holy Ghost. He had taught them for 3.5 years, and they were still undisciplined due to their human nature. They still were just like he found them, but they had a lot more experiences and they had knowledge. But they were the same guys. But he had them perfectly ready for what was to come. And he knew this. He knew this. And while it was still 50 days before they would receive that power from on high, they still had some time to go, their human understanding was able to comprehend his words, that they were willing spiritually. They understood what he was saying. You have a willingness. There's no shortage of you, your willingness. I mean, Simon took his sword that night and said, I'll fight every one of you. Remember that? Cut a man's ear off. And Jesus said, don't use your sword. And he picked down and put the ear back on the side of his head. Never missed a beat. Don't do that. You don't need your sword. Understand what I just did. I put the ear back. You know, he didn't have to tell him what he did. He was showing them, it's not time for a sword. You don't understand what this scenario, this scene is all about. His words that he used, they were able to hear his words, but it was that going from that to being spiritually capable that was the problem. And it's really a challenge even today. We still we can amen a sermon, but it, when we get outside the doors into life, that's when I have to act out in life. Amen. We got to believe what we preach. Amen. We got to believe what we amen. If we say, so be it. If we say, amen, then there's a point out there when I need to say, all right, do I really believe this? Am I really accepting this? And am I able to go through with this right now? And so Simon Peter's denial before Calvary and his boldness on the day of Pentecost was a very clear picture of what the Spirit within can do through submitted willingness. Because he really pulled through. Amen. We know he faltered there, you know, and denied him three times. And the Lord made a point to look at him on that third denial. He is right in there in the courtroom where he is being tried. And as he said that third denial, Jesus made eye contact with him. In other words, making a point. You see what you just did, Simon? You denied again. That was the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh. This somewhat goes into what I was preaching a little bit on Sunday, some of these points perhaps. But in order for me to be great in God, and if I want to do great things for God, I have to let him dwell in my weakness. Amen. I have to let him dwell in that part of me that's inconsistent. I've got to give God my mistakes. I've got to give God my nature that's not too great. That's why he wants honesty. Simon said, I'll never deny you, but the Lord wanted honesty. He goes, that's what your mouth is saying, but I want to tell you what your heart's going to do. And it was that difference between what Simon thought he was and what he was, that vast difference, where the Holy Spirit was going to dwell and make him to where he would proclaim the name until death. That made the difference. It was the Spirit that made the difference. See, there's things I don't like, and those things I don't like are the very things that I have to accomplish or the things that I have to do in order to be great with God. But there are things that none of us really are just thrilled about. I remember we called an all-night prayer meeting. It was many, many years ago, not here. It was another church. And I remember thinking, this is going to be a piece of cake because I got so many things to pray about. And we started at 8 o'clock that night. And I remember when 10 p.m. rolled around. And I wasn't watching my clock because I thought, I'm not going to do that because it'll drag by if I look at the clock. And I just glanced up there hoping it was about 12:15. And we had been praying for about 2 hours. I was going, oh my goodness. We're going to pray 8 hours and it's 10 o'clock. That means we got 6 hours to go. Lord, I've run out of everything I can pray about. I have nothing else to pray about. And so then I went to trying to stay awake. And at midnight, at the midnight hour, the pastor said, I think we all could stand and be proud that we've been here praying this long. And in my flesh and in my spirit, I said, amen. I'll be the first one up to the front, and we'll just glorify God. And we did. We prayed half all night. And but my flesh wasn't into that. If you ever hear anybody say, oh, I just love to pray. I could just pray the day away. Well, you're getting them on a high. Because if you follow them, just walk along with them for a while, they're going to be a day coming very soon that they're going to not like praying. Something's going to happen that's going to get them off their game. Let's be honest here. That's our flesh. None of us have wings right now, no halos, and we're not living on clouds. We're living on real earth. And so we have our ups and downs. Well, I do. Anybody want to say amen? See, there's things that I deal with, things I struggle with, there's things I don't like. And it's my flesh. Let me just tell you, it's my flesh. It's there, and we have to deal with it. That's just all there is to it. And but see, Simon's, his problem was he thought he was greater than he was because his mouth, as they say, wrote a check that his heart couldn't cash. But the Lord understood the potential. He understood his potential. The man who would take a sword, the one that would take a sword to defend his Lord, when things got right with him, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he's the one that stood up and said to the multitudes, not 120, they were talking in tongues. He spoke to the multitudes and says, let me tell you what's happening, what's going down around here. I will tell you. And the position that the Lord anointed him for was amazing, to lead that church. In those first days, his words were so necessary and so powerful. You know, he was on the rooftop and the Lord spoke to him. He saw a vision. And oh, he opened the doors. He opened doors. Thank God for what he did. Open the doors to the Gentiles because he was willing. What happened is he submitted to God, and the Lord took that raw willingness and gave him some marching orders and attached them to him, and he was able to do great things for God. That right there truly, truly was the difference. And though he denied knowing the Lord once, when he was filled with power, oh, he was able to submit to his own death and be crucified himself many, many years later. James chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. He gives more grace, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those two things. Submit to God, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. So, we must understand what submission to God really is. Submission to God means not submitting to me. I'm denying my flesh when I submit to God. So when you submit to God, then you need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because when I submit to God, I have his cloak. I have God's will now. I have God's hand on my life when I submit to him. Submission means it's not my will, Lord, but it's what your will is. And he said, resist the devil, he will flee from you. And then verse 8, he says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So there's two things. But God gives grace to the humble. Thank God for grace. Grace is that empowerment that we all need. He gives grace to those that are humble. And he says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You take a step, God takes a step. I back up and God gets that much further away from me. The humble, that's the place where we get low. Humility, not me, Lord, but you. It's not my reputation, Lord. It's the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Let your will be done. That's where we get low. We stand down so God can stand up. We put aside our desires and ideas and submit to his values and his plans for our life. Difficult to sometimes do. Very, very easy to say. And there's the part we're challenged with all the time. In my mind, I feel that there's so many things I can do. But when I actually get in gear and start letting out the clutch, then we find out, do I have the horsepower? Do I have the willpower, Lord, to carry out your will? And a willing heart does great things for God. Just to somebody that'll say yes to the Lord. Just yes. Just yes. So, Lord, help us today that we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let me humble myself, God, before your will, and therefore we can begin to do great things. Can you say amen? You know, drawing near to God, he draws near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. These are works that provide space for something else. Cleanse your hearts. Purify your hearts. Push things out of the way. I know we don't like that, but we've got to get priorities and prioritize. And is anybody here love cleaning out your garage? And you'll admit that. You know what the problem I have with cleaning out my garage is deciding what's keepable and what's junk, what's good and what's bad. Because things in my mind, I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get rid of this and this and this. And I go out there and I'm thinking, I'm going to be merciless. And it's going in the back of my truck, going, taking it to the dump. And I grab something, I think, but, you know, I could probably use this at some point. I made a change in my life several months ago. And I accepted the fact that I'm never going to use that stuff. And it's not even yard sellable. It's just things I thought I needed, pieces of this and parts of that. And you would not believe what I finally turned loose. I should have took pictures. You'd been proud. I kind of was, but I forgot to take pictures of it. And I threw away things that I thought I would need. I had a bag of nails. Nails, you don't use nails a lot anymore. You use screws. I had a bag of nails from 1993. That was pre-Lakeland. It was the name of the shop I used to go to, the building place I used to go to. And there, it was a bag. The bag still had the nails in it, but I always thought I may use those nails. Because there was a time when I really used that size of nail. And there they were, just nice and preserved. They went in the trash. I told my wife, I said, I've turned over a new leaf. She said, what are you doing? I said, from now on, I'm storing all my stuff at Lowe's. I'm storing it at Lowe's, and if they don't have it at Lowe's, it's at Home Depot. I said, because I'm storing it all there, and I have peace of mind. So please come by Lowe's and look at what I've got. It's amazing. It is amazing what I've got all stored there, because I've finally said, Lord, I'm getting rid of some of this stuff. It's weighty. It's heavy. I'm talking about internally. There's things that we hang on to that we just need to let it go. All right, I know you were hurt, but we need to let go of that. Let God heal that. I know there's things that you don't like about yourself. You need to let go of that and let grace take place. See, there's things that we need to expect from God. We need the grace of God, but the grace of God is not going to do us any good until we get rid of the things that's cluttering up the spaces that He wants to use to be glorified in our life. He's a good God, and He loves us, and He loves what we are able to do through Him, but we've got to give Him room to work and let those old this old debris from yesteryear, just let it be gone. Put it out by the curb and say, from now on, He will give me what I need. I'm storing everything. Everything's going to be in heaven, and I'm just going to go to my God about it when I need it, and He will take care of it. Everything you need, He's got plans for it. He's got a way for it. 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul is saying this in verse 1. It's doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, now he's talking about himself here, who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. Right there, what he's saying is, I'm only going to brag about what I'm not, because that's where God makes up the difference. I'm only going to brag about what I can't do. I'm going to brag about my inconsistencies because He makes me consistent. See, He says, I'm only going to brag about the things you can see that's inadequate because He makes me adequate. Because He can do all things through Christ who strengthens. All things through Christ who strengthens. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be, or hears from me. I don't want you to think too highly. Why? Because the Apostle Paul is saying, I don't want you to think I'm able to do anything. Because he can only do things through Christ who strengthens him. He says, I could tell you things I've seen. I could tell you visions. I could show you, I could explain to you what I've seen when I was caught up into that third heaven. That means he was up there where the gold streets are. And he goes, but it's things I can't even express in words. The human mind cannot take that and express it here. But the Lord gave him a look and he said, I can't. I just can't tell you. That tells you how great heaven is. He said, but, and he separated himself by saying, I knew a man several years ago. In the body or out, I don't even know that. Because he was in such a holy estate that he couldn't even explain it. He just said, he took me there. He took me there. It's premature. I can't even explain what was going on. He just took me there. I could boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. Verse 6. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest any one should think above me what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above the ability to equate that, to measure it, to understand it. There was sent to me. Oh Lord, this is the point where God's hand rests upon us as individuals. He understands what makes you tick. God understands your uprising and your downsetting. He said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And again he says, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, this thorn, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, in other words, I'm going to tell you what I'm not. I'm going to tell you what my problems are. I'm going to tell you where I'm inconsistent. I'm going to show you where I come up short. Because I'm telling you the truth. He said, I'm being honest with you. I just can't do things. But I need the power of Christ to do everything that I do. The Lord took a brilliant man, a brilliant lawyer, a Pharisee, as Paul said, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was held higher than other Pharisees. The Lord allowed him to watch the stoning of the so wonderful preacher Stephen. And he held the coats of those that threw the stones and killed that righteous holy man. And he saw his face as it shone. And he saw Stephen mention that the Lord was standing up. He said, I see the Lord standing. The apostle didn't forget that. It wasn't lost on him. And the Lord allowed him to see the scene of that martyr. What he didn't realize is he was about to slide into that space, that void that was left by Stephen. The very next chapter, he struck down on his way to go arrest some more Christians. And so the Lord is trying to tell him, Paul, look, I can handle you. You can be great through me. That's the best great to be right there, is great through God. He said, so I would boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Somebody talking bad about me? Lord, I take pleasure in that because you know who I really am and I'm going to be all right here. Got a bad reputation all of a sudden? I don't care. God's got my reputation in his hands. He's taking care of me. I'm not worried about that. Yeah. In persecutions, I'm being persecuted. People are not only talking about me, they're arresting me. I'm good with that. Arrest me. Put me in jail. God can open prison cells. We can do that. In distresses, for Christ's sake, yeah, he said, I take pleasure in all of these. And his explanation is this, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Then am I strong. The things that if I were to put yellow sticky notes on all the things in my life I don't like, I would realize that a lot of the things I don't like was God saying, this is for a purpose right here. This is for your own good. You may not like it, but it needs to be there. Because what's more important is allowing your spirit to be blessed by God's presence and being an overcomer through him, not an overcomer through your own ability or through your own wisdom. But whatever we do, we've got to do it through Christ. That's the greatest point. My last point, God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Without his grace, we're all truly lost. But thank God we're saved by grace. See, grace is the favor of God that fills in the voids of your human nature. Grace fills in. You've got all these areas that just seem like they're not smooth at all. Just all you need is grace. You need grace. Have you ever driven on a road? One of these frozen, torn up, icy roads. After the winter's over with, doesn't happen down here that much, but in icy places, winter can wreak havoc on roadways, storms, and you'd find a pothole you didn't know about. You go the same way every day, and all of a sudden, there's a brand new pothole. Jars your back teeth almost loose. You make a mental note, I'll see it tomorrow. Next day, you don't get it again. You don't miss it, and you hit that thing. And you realize, you know, I'm dodging a lot of things on this road. I'm just like a NASCAR driver just trying to go to work every day and dodging all these potholes. And there's a, seems like a new one every time it rains. We've been there. We've done that before. And then there's a detour. There's a detour. Couple of days of detour, and then on the third day you come through and the road is open, and when you drive on it, it's silent, it's quiet, it's smooth. They have hot topped it. They put a new top on it and they've smoothed it down, and no more potholes. You're like, I love this road. This is a great road. Now think about your nature. Since this crowd that's here tonight, I've checked, you know, as I've taught here and as we was worshiping, I looked around and there's none of us are perfect here tonight. Sunday, sometimes it's that way, but there's no perfect people here tonight. And but let's just be glad that we're this unique group, that no one's perfect here. But do you realize that what the grace of God is constantly working out in your life is to try to make things smooth that aren't smooth? Your nature, it's awesome once you get God involved in it. You're great when you got God. But you get a little bit too much of you and not very much of Him, and it gets a little bumpy, doesn't it? Mine does. And I don't have to be on the top of my game to even figure that out. But when I please me and I don't please the Spirit, then that's where the bumps start to come from. Lord, help us today not to get too bumpy. But grace is that favor of God that fills the voids in your human nature. You want this to happen. You need that daily for the grace of God to be there, smoothing your nature out. So people will get along better with you, and the glory goes to your heavenly Father all the time, all the time. God told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In weakness. There's things about my nature I don't like, but I have come to understand that the things about me I don't like are the very things God needs me to have, because it's places where He can dwell and live there, and I have to have Him to be normal. Isn't that sad? Lord, I have to have You just to be normal. That's just how it is. Me without God, not pretty. I need Him. I want to tell you, one of the greatest blessings we have is our problems. Amen. You think about your last dark trial you went through. The Lord didn't forsake you. He was more present there than He ever has been. And you gave Him glory for it. In the middle of it, it wasn't fun. You weren't excited about it at all. It's like being in the dentist chair for hours and days at a time. You wouldn't like that. But when it was over, you realized, Lord, You took me through this. You took me through the darkness. You took me through the twisting, winding road. I didn't know if I was in the right place or not. People that grow in the Lord submit to the path. They submit to the path God's leading them down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, Lord, it comforts me. In other words, I'm equipped when I'm walking with the Lord. I've got everything I need because I'm walking with the Lord. See, your path and mine are not going to be the same, because we're not the same. We're different. We're unique. God created us that way on purpose. But when He leads you down the path of righteousness, understand it's for His name's sake. It's for the glory of God. And if we balk and back out, and we can do this, we sure can. All you got to do is just not seek your personal walk with Him with prayer. You just stop praying, and it's going to get real bumpy. Problem with that is then we tend to blame other things. It's just human nature. Why does things like this always happen to me? That's one of the things. Why is it always me? Why do I got to go through situations like this? That's not how it always is. But He leads us down paths. He leads us down paths. I thank God today for what He's doing. There's power in our deficits. The very things about you that you don't like, there's power there. There's so much potential in that part about you that you just can't understand. Why, God, You make me thus? Why did you make me like this? There's potential for the glory of God all in there. We just need to talk to our Father and say, Lord, you didn't make me the way I would have made me. That's just being honest. But you made me the way you knew I need to be made. All for your glory. But I've noticed some problem areas that I'd like you to help me with. Those areas that we have issues with, that's the relationship right there. That's the relationship. Husband and wife get married. First thing they got to learn to do is get along. Amen. You got to get along. And it's done so where there's give and take on both sides. You just don't wake up and say, all right, look, my way is the highway. Either one of them, you don't do that. It's short term. But you've got to say, we've got to learn to cohabitate. We've got to learn to get along. It's just, that's how it is. And so what the Lord saves us, he says, look, I've saved you by my grace. And so it's by my grace that you're going to make it. But the glory of God is we're individuals, we're unique, beautifully unique. And so your strength is my weakness and vice versa. We're all strong in different ways. Thank God for what he's able to do through us today. There's power in our deficits, and your weakness is his strength. I truly believe sometimes we make it too difficult and out of reach, but it's not. It's not hard. It is not hard to live for God. It is not hard. All we have to do is have a relationship to where we can talk to him on a daily basis. Amen. I thank the Lord that today before church, Colton was baptized in Jesus' name. I thank God for that. That's the beginning of a relationship. Amen. That is an awesome thing right there. Because it's in the Bible. And in the process of the name being applied, we take that name upon us. And when he fills us with his Spirit, with evidence of us speaking in other tongues, oh my goodness. We're led and guided by that indwelling Spirit. It leads and guides you into all truth. That means you don't get all the truth at once, do you? Anybody here a Bible scholar when you received the Holy Ghost? I mean, like right then you was a scholar? No, you knew you weren't, right? Because it illuminated the path and you realized what you were and what you weren't. Thank God for that. Quickly, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, my last reading, and I'm almost done, coming to a close. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We're just going to carry this on. You're going to teach and they're going to teach it to others but themselves. Thou therefore, listen to these words, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Like a soldier does. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Don't stop and get drawn aside by things that entangle you and trip you up. That he may praise him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If I'm not careful, I might win my battle, and then when I win my battle, I can get involved in the parade, and I can start thinking that it was me and not him, and I can celebrate my victory and not God's victory. So I don't need to get entangled with this life. I need to keep my eyes on the prize that's ahead and say, Lord, I'm aiming for eternal life here. I need eternal life. I need to continue to invest in this eternal relationship with the Lord. And I've got to take those things in that long list of what I don't like about me and realize those are the areas where God puts his grace. That's where he puts his grace. You know, and it's not a once and done affair. I have to work on it all the time. I've got to work on me all the time. Amen. I do. I the thing that the Lord did, and this is mentioned also about the priesthood, is the priests were taken from among the people. They weren't angels. They were taken from among the people so they could feel the way the people felt. They could go to the Lord about the people, but they could understand. They had compassion. And the Lord takes pastors from among the people. And therefore, we go through the same battles. We go through the same things. But I'm telling you, God will save you out of every single problem that you ever fall into. He is a mighty God. Can you say amen? Let's stand and let's be dismissed from our pew. We don't need a song. I'd rather like us to remember just the Word of God. And I'd like to read this scripture to you one more time and like this to be on your mind. James 4, 6 through 8. I read it a while ago, but maybe now with a little different light shining on it. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Is there a limit to that?